Hey everyone, welcome to Guild of the North. As always, I'm your host, Paul Filial, here with my co-hosts, Antoine, not Bergeron this week, Antoine
Mitras.
Yes.
Mitras. Small Antoine. Yeah.
Small Antoine. Little Antoine.
Yeah.
He's pocket size. And, of course, my buddy over here, Steve Gagne. How's it going, Steve?
Very good, Paul. What about you?
Oh, good. We just drove 6.5 hours or so to get from Montreal to somewhere in Massachusetts.
Middle of nowhere, Massachusetts.
That's right.
And we had our first snowstorm of the season as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, we had to drive through that because we went to a con, so it had to be snow.
Exactly.
And we got to drag along a new friend, because Antoine Bergeron could not make it away. So we went for alternate Antoine.
Yeah. The second one.
Yep. Well, it's like when you have a girlfriend on the side. It's always best to have the same name so you can't make a mistake in bed.
Exactly.
It's the same idea.
And since I'm sharing my bed with Antoine tonight,
what happens on that side of the room stays on that side of the room, buddy. So that's all I'm saying. All right. So, yeah, we're going to a WTC style, we've been drinking, WTC style team tournament.
Yeah, style, but not size.
But not size, that's right. Eight team, I think was the...
Yeah, it's it's not only WTC, I mean, it's the basic team tournament. Most team tournaments use that format anyway. Yeah. So.
Is that the German style or something? They have a name for it. It's whatever it is, but yeah.
Team tournament style.
Team tournament style, yeah. So it's eight teams. So,
yeah, 24 players.
That'd be 24 people. That's only the basic math, yeah.
Yeah, you're still good at counting.
Well, and it's neat. So, we met the organizer actually at Nova.
Yeah, Zach.
Zach Cohen. And a very pleasant fellow, nice guy. He asked us to come out to this, and we decided we would because why not?
Because we're crazy Canadians.
We're crazy Canadians. Travel 6 hours for a 3-round, 1-day event. That's us.
That's us.
And drag along the one guy that doesn't know any better. And of course, season 4 just launched a couple weeks ago, and it is SteamCon UK weekend.
Yeah.
So all the good players are away, so our chances are improved. I like this.
It's kind of a Steam Can't tournament.
That's true. I mean, we have realistic hopes, so we figure it's 3 rounds. We should win at least 1 round, right?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
That's our hope.
That's the goal. If we get 2 rounds, then we're overachieving.
Well, yeah. That's beyond all hope. Because we all know my international record is
poop. After that first year, yeah, I don't know what happened to you.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it's still better than mine. And Antoine doesn't have an international record, so.
So
maybe it's the best.
Antoine has just started tournament play.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So.
That's what I, for that matter.
It's going upwards for him, right? Because there's no comparison, so any result is going to be better than no result.
Result.
I think I'm the second highest rated player in Montreal right now. Active player.
Right? Active. I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a couple from...
which isn't saying much, because...
When we started to play with the previous system. No, but because previously it was with tiebreak.
Right.
But they imported the game from tiebreak to Longshank.
Yeah.
But it's been more than a year, so I think those games are
falling off. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, are fading off.
Yeah, so all like the...
The War Machine
player. The Benoit Berube and stuff. Yeah, like they're no longer
good at the game, but decided to...
That's right.
Go back to War Machine after the fact. They're no longer in the standing.
So it makes my numbers look better is what I'm getting at. So I'm the number 2 player in Montreal in our meta of like 5 people.
Well, almost 8.
Almost 8.
Oh, do come.
Well, no, but...
He's counting his 8-year-old daughter who kind of plays sort of.
Yeah, she did say she was playing.
Yeah. No, but we're 8 active player.
Probably.
Yeah.
Semi-active.
Kind of active, semi-active, active-ish, yeah. Anyway, all to say, so we've traveled to the States to play this event. And we...
Well, because it's a team tournament as well.
Yeah, so we totally...
It's a fun format.
Yeah, and we combed the internet. We went through to see which teams were OP. You know, we picked our teams accordingly.
No, we didn't.
Well, Steve, I don't know. You're playing Hunter Swarm.
Well, because...
And it's arguable Hunters are one of the top tier teams, right?
I know, but it's kind of a curse because I play Hunters or Mortician, which are both considered a really good team in Season 4. So I didn't have really a choice. So it was either a good team or a good team.
Or possibly better team, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So And my clock management with scalpel is not that good yet.
It's about as good as my clock management with everything.
Yeah, exactly. since we had one player who was clocking out on the team, I decided I'm going to play Hunter, so it's like kind of used to that.
I haven't clocked out in a long time. I just don't win.
Yeah, you lose faster than you clock out.
Exactly. So, actually, no, that's not even. I'm really. I've done fairly well the last few events.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
You know, comparatively. Yeah, and I decided I was going to play Union. I was going to say Hunter's.
No, I'm playing on Thursday.
Yeah, you're right. Union. So, I mentioned we've been drinking, right? So I'm playing Union. And that's because I only just started at the end of Season 3. So even though they're not very popular right now.
You're a special snowflake. Well, we can mention because I'm saying that because we saw the stats for the LCQ at ThemeCon UK.
Yeah, the first LCQ.
And it was 90 player register. There was 17 butchers and only 3 union players.
Yeah, and last major event was kind of the other way around.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Like, before Season 4 dropped, it was like...
All union and fish.
Mostly, yeah.
And I play union and fish, right?
Exactly. So you were OP in Season 3, and now I'm OP in Season 4, I guess.
Yeah. I think this is the fact that everyone else got changed a lot, so union is kind of boring.
Well, because...
Nothing changed.
Much.
Yeah, very, very minor.
Well, Snakeskin, Fangtooth got...
Fangtooth is a good change. Snakeskin, she's not bad. I just don't know how much play she'll actually
see. Well, she's not bad, but she's not good.
I think it's arguable. I think there's a place for her. Like, I could see substituting her for, like...
I think she has a place, but not in Union. She has a place in the guild that she can be a Union choice still because they don't have
miners yet.
Yeah. That's where I think she fits because of the, she's charm and the beautiful ability and stuff like that. So it can be useful in some other guild.
So I think in my lineup, if I look at my 12, the ones I dropped from my 12 were Fangtooth, Snakeskin, and Minx. Reason being that
you can never play Fangtooth, Minx.
Well, there's that, but there's another reason. So Fangtooth is really good, I find, but he's awfully slow, and he has a hard time keeping up. And unless you're going to unleash him, I don't think he's necessarily that good, because he gets even slower. And he has a 3 influence cap.
Yeah.
So, you know, okay, you're going to get that knockdown on one, great, and then you get 2 attacks with him. He'll probably do 6-ish damage, maybe. But he doesn't have...
But again, benefit from butchery or tool up.
Yeah, but again, we're talking...
But it's
but everyone benefits from tool up and butchery, right? So it's level of playing field, take the buffs
out. Yeah, for sure.
But he doesn't have anatomical or anything, right? So then I look at that and I go, well, do I take him or do I take Gutter or Decimate? Or you know, what other damage dealer? I could take Minx instead of him. Because she's fast,
yeah.
she brings, I want to call it Hunter's Mark, because that's War Machine, but...
No, Mark Target.
Mark Target, which is a threat extender, which is good. But I decided to be a little unconventional. I took Grace instead, because Grace also has a movement buff, and she brings 2 influence for herself every turn. So she gets to cast that for free, essentially. She does reduce my overall influence pool by 1 when I take her in my lineup.
She got a bit of a defense buff?
Yeah, she's 4-1 now.
4-1
instead. She was 4-0, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think she's got some play. She's quick, and she's got an 8-inch kick.
Yeah.
It's only 2 dice, but...
And she has some healing abilities.
Yeah, she has a 3-point AoE heal, which is nice.
Exactly.
That she can arc through someone else, so...
Because it's for Freyling.
So effectively 11-inch-ish range.
Yeah.
So... Anyway, I decided to go with that instead of, you know... And if I hadn't gone with her, it really would have come down to Fangtooth or Minx. Because I think both those are still better choices than Snakeskin.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Minx is easy because, I mean, I've played her a lot with Hunters, so I know. Yeah,
charge for free back to the shadows.
Exactly. So. She got
Mark the Mark Target.
Because she got buffed because Mark Target is now 10 inches.
10 range,
instead of 8, so it's kind of buffed. And she auto snares as well, so.
Yeah. No, she's really good. She's really good. I'll be getting some more playtime with her in, when I get back to the city.
Yeah, after the tournament.
Well, I only played like 3 or 4 games leading up to this, right? So I want to stick with what I know. Build on a solid foundation of mediocrity. But yeah, so yeah, special snowflake number one playing Union in a butchers, blacksmiths, morticians, and hunters world. And then we have the other snowflake.
Yeah, farmers.
Yeah, playing farmers.
Yeah, no. What? You're playing Grange farmers, preferably, right?
Well, yes, because I don't like Thresher. I had some bad experience with the Thresher box.
Show me on the doll where Thresher touched. Oh.
I was traumatized by Thresher in the Thresher box. And it was not a balanced box. Since then, each time I tried playing him,
it didn't need to be balanced, right? It had Thresher in it.
Yeah, exactly. No. But this box was really unbalanced. It was like, I don't remember, but... Not enough influence to play it.
Not enough planters, right? It was all...
Because Plowman
was crap in
season. Yeah, Plowman, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, no, it was a traumatizing experience. Since then, like, Thresher, yeah. This is no more my friend. Only playing Grunge. Most of the time, when I'm serious. But, yeah. Playing Farmers, I dropped Vent Honors.
He didn't get the memo that Butchers are now the hitting team instead of Farmers.
Yeah, well, I don't own the Butchers. I only have Farmers.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. But yeah. Yeah, professional team there. Completely ready for tournament. Not playing Vet Honors because I didn't have time to play her any for once game at all for the season 4. So yeah. I'm ready for this tournament.
Totally. And we spent some time in the car, planning for matchups, which is always hilarious. Because
actually, we were asking which matchup we don't want. So,
yeah. and I think we determined I really don't want to play into anything.
Nobody wants to play against Butcher. So
yeah.
It's gonna be a fun day tomorrow.
Well, we can.
I think there's only two Butcher players tomorrow.
Yeah, we can mention that. That's what I was going to say. All guilds are represented.
All major guilds.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's only all major guild. Nobody is taking a minor guild on the team tournament.
You know, I think, from my limited play experience and what I'm seeing online and stuff, I'm just going to regurgitate someone else's numbers, pretend like my own. I don't think the minor guilds play great right now into the current meta. I think Ratcatchers maybe have game because they're a ball playing team and they have some neat jank.
Nav will have games
Navs aren't out yet, right? So
if they get out,
yeah, I think Navs will be okay too because of their dice mechanic and their really fast move.
Yeah.
But the poor Falconers, they don't do enough damage to really be a damage team. They're not good enough with the ball to play the ball well.
Well, the main problem with minor guilds...
And you have no variety.
It's the depth compared to other guilds.
Because you've got an 8-player roster, right?
And especially now, I still prefer 10, like season 3 instead of the 12. You
make people make hard choices. Eh?
Yeah, exactly. Now you make less choices. But still, it's even a bigger disadvantage for the minor guilds because they have only 8 players to choose from and only one choice of captain and mascot compared to major guild who have a choice of 2 captain, 2 mascot, and a roster of 12 players.
Well, total. In season 3, it was even worse for me, right? Because order didn't exist, so those models were all in Union.
Yeah, you had
so
20-ish model with 3 captain.
10, like,
3 captain.
Well, and captains was easy, right? You take Blackheart, you take Rage, and you Brisket who?
Yeah.
That was the general consensus. I like Brisket. General consensus was she was inferior to Blackheart.
That's a nice model.
I don't think she's that bad, especially now. I think she's got some game, but I don't think the team is well-tooled.
Model.
Okay. My hot take is that the team doesn't synergize well with each other. You have some players want to do some stuff, and they do it very well, and other players don't support that.
Exactly.
So it's really strange.
Well, because essentially, depending on the lineup, you can produce a beady lineup and only the captain is not beating people up because, like, Fangtooth can beat people down. Benny at some point.
Well, Benny, he's...
Well, he can push and crowd out and help. Oh, he helped pushing.
Benny and...
Vet Fangtooth and Spigot
and Harry
have
kind of the same playbook, right?
Yeah,
so they have that 2 damage on 3, I think.
But Harry has singled out, so you can like take those players to be beat down, and then you're stuck with Brisket.
Yeah, it doesn't.
She wants to score, but the rest of the team wants to beat down. I guess.
Yeah, No, for sure. It doesn't make
sense. It's a weird tier.
And,
but you do get one extra card from the guild plan and plus one dice on the kickoff.
On the starting roll, yeah. Listen, I'm not saying they're bad. I'm not good enough to make that judgment call. I'm saying I don't think they synergize that well with each other.
No,
I think
no.
There's some play there, but I think they're in an awkward spot. I don't think they're very fine-tuned. So I don't see a reason to take them in the competitive environment. Play them for fun all you want. Yeah. But if you're trying to go to a tournament and win, unless you're going to like Dark Horse Factor, because like, no one in your meta has seen them or plays them or knows what they do, and you want to, kind of win with that pot-bellied pass that no one expects, okay, yeah, sure. But generally speaking, I don't think they really have what it takes. We were off topic. Where were we going with this? Mm. Oh, yeah, we're looking at the team composition for the tournament.
No, but we talked about minor guilds. That's why.
Oh, yeah.
And you said rats.
Minor guilds, not getting any love at this event. I don't know. It's interesting seeing some of the choices people made. Like, there's another Union player, Ian Fight. And I find it odd that he did not take black heart and or coin. Right? So I guess that's one way to fix the
depth of and making choices.
Yeah, I'll just, and I think he took snakeskin. Yeah, weirdo. Yeah.
And he has Fangtooth and Avarice Greed.
Avarice Greed, I guess he's going for the crazy beatdown team, right? He wants all the big guys.
Yeah, for sure, because you see the 12 he has. So he's going to try to do 4 takeouts.
Yeah, he's going to be mangling people. And, he's got the, as I say, the DPS. He's got the damage to do it. He's got some ball play there with Snakeskin and Mist, right?
Yeah.
To a lesser degree,
or
Minx and
Decimate.
Decimate, but. I just don't know.
And
no, but how's he deal with? Oh, he's got Hemlock. Okay, for a second, I didn't think he had Hemlock. Like, how's he dealing with conditions? I don't understand. But anyway, I just find it interesting that you avoid that second captain when that second captain is the one that more people are playing.
Well, he's more versatile.
Yeah, because he can play the damage game
or the ball game. So
yeah, and his movement is all over the place. So
yeah,
it's quite good.
I'm not the. There's another Hunter player at the event, and he has the exact same lineup as I do.
That's not terribly surprising.
Oh. Well,
you dropped Vethearn?
Yeah. Vethearn and Mataggy and Snow.
Mataggy. Okay. I'd forgotten you could take Mataggy. I was thinking of him.
Yeah. There's no need to take both Minerva and Mataggy because there's no need for 2 Arriers and Hunters. So, because they only break. Well, only. Bring plus 1 damage, but I mean, getting 2, it's a bit too much. You're
spending a lot of time trying to set up, right?
Exactly.
It's like support bloat.
But I was thinking you could do a total like standoff range damage team with Taran, Ygritte, Zarola to some extent.
I'm sure your opponents would love that. It'd be totally fun to play against you.
Yeah. I think so, right?
Yeah. Friendliest whack player that we know.
I can offer beers to my opponent or something like that to rub them.
To ease the pain?
Yeah, ease the pain. Here's some lube.
I don't know if... Yeah, thing is, I don't think that list would necessarily win often, but when it did win, it'd be really annoying.
A really long and tedious win. Because this is going to be a slow grind.
Yeah. In a clock game, I don't know if that's really a great play.
Well, I won't clock. They will.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. So, Antoine, being your first international event.
Yeah.
So, what are you looking to play into tomorrow? Do you have, like what's your ideal matchup, you think? Now, that's an interesting question because our meta is fairly small, so there's some teams we never see.
Yeah, most of them.
Right? Like, I've never played a Masons player. I know the Masons are supposedly a good team. I've looked at the cards, but I've never played into them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait at least another 4 or 5 days before that happens.
Yeah, when Big Antoine finishes.
Continues. Discovering the joys of speed painting. So what do you think? What's your ideal matchup? What type of team are you looking to play your lineup into?
I don't know somebody. I don't know, because usually whatever the other team is, I get destroyed most of the time. Either it's a ball playing team, then I'm not able to keep the ball and get destroyed. Or a beat up team, and the farmers are good beat up team. But compared to Butchers, for example,
I think Butchers are kind of at the crazy end of the scale by themselves.
Yeah, but
I think
some bad experience against Butchers.
I think you played Shane Waddy, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
At the last event, yeah. That's, you know. For those who don't know, Shane is a phenomenal player, so that's a tough matchup.
Yeah, and he did help me during the game, you know.
Yeah, he's also a very nice guy.
Yeah. Giving me tips and everything, but I still got destroyed. Yeah, painful.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know, I would say something like against a beat-up team, maybe. Try to outbeat them, especially farmers are kind of tanky-ish.
Yeah, I think, for example, playing against a Union player, for the most part, I think it's tough because we have good damage, but we don't have, like...
If you cannot take out one guy in one turn, I can always heal him up. Like, yeah, Windle, you can heal up 10, 14 a turn, I think.
Yeah.
So
with stack break and everything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think the challenge is that the... the Union doesn't have crazy burst, right?
Yeah.
They've got consistent low damage, which will take models out. But they can't come in and do a sledge hit you for 14 or whatever, you know. Like with a wrap and whatever. Like, that's just not going to happen. Or Cena damage. Yeah.
Cena's not that bad.
She has 6-on-6, doesn't she?
Yeah.
How many dice does she have for attack?
7.
Right. Wow. So 11 dice on the charge.
Well, but you're going to defensive stance, but you don't need to charge.
Yeah, but if you're charging a farmer or whatever.
Oh, right? Yeah.
But you don't need to charge anymore because you get the feral attack, so you have a free attack.
Yeah, right? Free attack, yeah. Yeah, so don't talk to me about... anyway.
It's a freaking bear.
Yeah, I got nothing wrong. I don't think there's anything wrong with that damage. That's okay. It's one player.
Exactly.
It's not a whole team of guys doing six and then wrapping twice. And
yeah.
You know, you got 12 or 18 boiler. Damage. Or, yeah. Freaking boiler.
Well, boiler, the game we played...
the kid, right?
Yeah, I'm getting sidetracked, but we played...
it's the beer. It's okay.
It's okay. Antoine was trying... Big Antoine, he rolled the dice and said, okay, so that's total of 14 damage. How many health points do you have? 12. Okay, so I need... do less damage. Was
horrible. Actually, he was trying to farm momentum and he couldn't.
Yeah, he couldn't.
Too fast.
He couldn't. He the lowest he could do was to kill me with 2 influence and be left with 1 influence because he had too many influence because he was under the aura plus the legendary. So yeah.
Yeah, it's brutal.
He had to tone down.
Did he have the princess assist and everything too?
I'm not too sure. I don't think he had the assist.
Because that gets worse, right?
Yeah.
So that adds another damage and it's another die.
Two dice.
Oh, even better. But it's another damage, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he has it with plus 3 damage.
Yeah.
That shit's busted.
So I think he does...
Mid-season nerf for Butchers.
He does 5 damage on 2 success, something like that. But he has...
That seems logical.
And he has anatomical precision, so...
Meanwhile, Fangtooth now has 3 damage on column 5 or 4? 5.
Yeah.
Because they gave him a tackle instead.
Sounds good.
You know, we were talking about using Fangtooth as a beater in the order.
Yeah.
I don't even know anymore because his damage is so high up. He's only got 5 tack, right?
Yeah. But he does a 6 on the last column.
Yeah, but he does a 3 on the column before it, doesn't he? If I'm not mistaken.
No, his 3 is on the second column.
No, it's not. It moved.
No. It got adjusted because it was a typo.
Oh,
like the tackle is not on the second column. It's the 3 damage.
It got moved back? Okay. Because I remember looking at it in the preview because we're
in
media, right? And I'm like, I think they just broke Veteran Vague, dude.
No. It's momentous.
Oh, it's back. Yeah. Okay. So I'm like, somehow he's a ninja tackle dude.
No. He still has Momentous 6 on 5.
And Momentous 3 on 2, more importantly.
Yeah.
You're going to hit that more often on the 5.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fine. Okay. My faith in Steam Fortress is restored for now.
Until next time we record then.
Yeah, we complain about something else. That'll be the post-tournament show where I complain about...
Well, so far you didn't complain about Steamforge, so that's not a normal Guilds of the North
episode. That's not true. I have not been complaining about them so much lately.
No. You've been good.
Well, they haven't made any dumb, you know, dumb decisions lately, so what do
Yeah, and season with? 4 has been good so far, so...
Yeah, I don't go that far, but... season 4 has been a lot of fun. I really like a lot of the changes. I don't want to be a negative Nancy. And most of my problems with them were never about the game, right?
It was you're not about, negative Nancy, you're positive Paul.
That's right, I'm positive Paul. And most of my complaints, to be honest, were not about the game. They were about... like business decisions,
yeah,
like release schedules, and you know, we're no longer going to release models as individuals. We're going to sell you boxes where you need one model, so you have to buy six. Yeah. Stuff like that bothered me. Gameplay, I always thought was good. So right, you want to play into a BD team? So let's just look at a little bit at the teams we have there, Toro. I don't think you want to play into blacksmiths.
No,
I don't think you want to play.
I don't like burst.
Butchers.
Yeah.
Well, the good news is only two models in the blacksmiths are really burst damage, right?
Yeah.
Bet, Cinder, and Sledge. Or they can play the ball scoring team with Ferris and then. Ferris
can play a.
Yeah, I can. Ball scoring, I can cope with. Kind of. As long as it's not like full blown fish ball scoring team.
Yeah.
Can move around everywhere and destroy you.
Yeah, I miss those days.
Yeah.
My prediction is I'll be back at Fish before you know it. Because I seem to be able to play those guys. My Union, I don't seem to be able to play very well. All right. Who else is like big bursty damage?
Those like.
I mean, yeah, Alchemists do a lot of consistent spread out damage.
Yeah, but Alchemists could be good, yeah.
But you have good clearance, right? Because you have Peck, right? Yeah, so you can take them to the clear
finishers. Or
Millstone also has, right? Yeah. Alchemist is a good matchup, I think.
Yeah.
Except with our good meta, I never played against the Alchemist.
Well, I only played against your brother once. I don't know how that really counts because he was learning the team. No, I'm not knocking your brother's play. I'm knocking the fact that he was learning the team. So, and I was playing Union that I knew better, and I had Hemlock. So,
and he was using Vetcat.
But it wasn't that. So what happened was he realized I was playing Hemlock, and he just played another guy playing Morticians. Was using Vet Hemlock. He didn't realize regular Hemlock had Smelling Salts too.
Oh.
So I had my guys all piled up in a scrum, because that's kind of what Union does. And I was poking some people and doing some damage, and then he's like, you know, Vet Callus comes in.
Yeah, everybody's poisoned.
And everyone's poisoned, and people are on fire and everything. And then I was like, okay, well, I Smelling Salts that group with the one template and clear everyone's conditions. And it was like table flipping, right? Like, what? Like, yeah. Well, she's still, and then he's like, well, she still has them, right? I'm like, no, she auto clears condition when she activates and she heals herself for it. And I could see the steam coming out of his ears, right? and that look of like, oh my god, my whole game plan I had going in my head is now ruined.
It's done.
Yeah. Well, best laid plans, right? That's part of wargaming. Yeah, for my part, it's kind of the same. I don't really want to deal with anyone bursty. Like, I just can't suck it up. And, you know, Union really wants to scrum. Even a ball playing team, right? You need to scrum. You have to generate momentum somehow. You can only tackle the ball so many times to generate momentum. So.
And you can kill sharks so many times before he comes back and score.
Yeah, this is it, right? So it's tough because scrumming, I think, is a dangerous thing now. Because a lot of teams, when they scrum, they'll pound you right into the ground.
Yeah, but. Brewers can still do it good because they have so many resilience models. So.
Oh, they're a tougher team, right? They have good health pools and they're sturdier.
Yeah.
You know, 4-1 is great and all, which the average Union, well, the average model stat line in the game.
Yeah.
But 4-1 will still die fairly quickly to Sledge auto 8 points of damage and
more bits in
there. Plus if he's rolling dice too, right? Because 8 without rolling dice, if I recall correctly, with a.
Yeah, you can do 8 without rolling.
Yeah, that's because the +3 net hits.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
He gets four damage, and then
I can't wait till I can start killing people with that.
Well, your sledge is painted, right?
Yeah, so I'm 1/6 of the way to the lineup. Yeah, but I think everything else, like I can't say other teams aside from Butchers and Blacksmiths. Blacksmith is not so much the damage output; it's also the armor.
Yeah, but Blacksmith, most of the apprentices are 4-1 or something like that.
It's so the masters I have, like that, like Ferris, like 3-2.
Yeah.
She's 3-3?
She's 2-3.
2-3. Oh, sorry. you know, it's tough.
And Anvil as well. And as soon as they get cover, you get minus one die. So that's reducing your...
takes pull, gutter down to four dice, and you're like, oh... Yeah, one. Right.
Well, she's gonna be gutter. Is gonna be a 2/2, so she's gonna do four. So others gonna get our second column only.
Right, which is still a one damage, I believe. I don't think there's a secret to. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know about that. I don't think that's really a good matchup for gutter.
Well, it's not a good matchup.
Because they non-mentus push.
Woo-hoo. But that's why with Blacksmith, you can use drag to try to isolate apprentices. Yeah, pull someone in. Yeah, and then deal with the apprentices one by one and piecemeal them. And
I think that would work better in fish where the drag is a longer range.
Yeah.
Because they have to be in my melee range. I can only pull them 2 inches, right? Mm. So.
No, but... Don't you have, what's the other ability from,
Siding Blow?
Siding Blows, but she has something else, Gutter.
She has Chain Grab?
Chain Grab is 6 inches.
Yeah, that's right. It's like, I was thinking it was in her melee range, like Siding Blow. That's right. It's 6 inches, just like, Harpoon.
So.
Yeah.
So she can still drag the apprentice out and try to control a bit.
Yeah, but there's a flaw with that plan. Oh, yeah, but I have to proc that off a playbook.
Yeah.
So I have to be in melee with someone, get 3 successes on a high armor team.
Yeah,
but to try to pull someone else 6 inches and hope they don't catch on someone else or a piece of terrain to pull them into me.
Yeah.
So suddenly I'm outnumbered.
Yeah.
In hopes that I have more people around gutter that can now attack this guy. Like,
yeah.
No. Takes a better player than I to set that up, my friend, with only one drag.
That's not my good plan.
Mm. I don't know about that, my son.
I thought it was a good plan.
Maybe a good plan if executed by a good player. I make no promises.
It's good on paper, but maybe not on the pitch.
Have we done you yet, Steve?
Nope.
What are you thinking about? What do you want to try to avoid playing? You can't say Hunter. You can't say Butchers. And you can't say...
Well, actually, Hunters, because I don't like the mirror match. And with any guild, my mirror match are not fun. Tend to be boring and tedious.
Mm.
So that's one I want to avoid.
You can say Butchers. It's okay. I won't blame you.
No. Well, Butchers, I've played so many games against Big Out One that depending on the skills on the player, and I play against Shane, and I kind of managed to...
Give okay?
A, yeah. Well, I lost, but at least I... Gave him a bit of a challenge.
Well, the thing is, your team has a lot of control too, right?
Yeah, so I think
control Butchers, it really helps.
Yeah, I think I would go
because they're not very fast, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So if you can slow them down and
with snares, range attack,
goad them or whatever. It's not called goad, but whatever your
pin at a bit of a long range standoff and then unleash the bear or something like that. There's there's something to be done like there instead of taking Skata and trying to. To score and like do fish team, so
yeah.
So now for Alchemist, maybe because I don't have anything to remove
clear bulk conditions,
yeah, exactly. To remove condition apart from momentum, so it could be rough. Like they're gonna win the momentum race most of the time and everything. So Alchemist is kind of one of the team I don't want to face off. But it's okay, I'm the captain, so I'm going to do the match. And Alchemist, and probably maybe Sharkfish or Corsair, because with all the pushes and everything, I don't think I have anything to deal with that, except a shotgun from Shaska. But
then a boomstick?
Oh, yeah. I didn't find a soundboard app for my phone. I should check for that after we finish recording. Boomstick.
This is my boomstick.
And probably I could put the Cena, John Cena thing there as well.
How to annoy your opponents.
Yeah, exactly.
It makes me think of that Warhammer Fantasy tournament where
mentioning that.
Was that on this show?
Yeah, we mentioned it on, maybe on the main show, but
I don't know. Let it go.
In French.
In French.
While deploying our Toon King army and while our doubles tournament. Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, that was a weird Steve moment. All right. Well, I mean, we haven't played the tournament yet, so I guess what we should do is probably take a quote-unquote break until our post-tournament report can be done.
Yeah. And if,
and we'll come back after the break with a description of how badly we lost and got crushed and who crushed us.
And maybe do you want to put a cave for that? Because maybe the sound quality won't be as good if we try to record on the car on our way back. If there's
if we're doing a car recording, that might be tough.
Well, if there's no snow and I don't have to use a wiper for rain.
Well, the road noise is pretty crazy. Yeah. But maybe, I don't know, maybe we can do something quickly at the place if we finish early. If we all get, you know, lambasted in round three and we're done at four.
Yeah,
or 4:15, you know?
You could do something on location or something.
Exactly,
like that.
Exactly. All right, so, or worst case, we'll just follow up like the day after. We'll do a Skype thing or we'll get together somewhere.
Sounds all right.
So let's take a little break and we'll be back with how badly we did. So see you soon. Hey everyone, welcome back to Guilds of the North. So this is actually a week after the New England team tournament. We had some audio issues, so we had to get that worked out before we could record the second half of our show. And now
also,
here we are.
Recording in the car was not a good idea.
Yeah.
Road noise was a thing. Yeah, yeah.
At least roadkill weren't a thing, so that's not too bad.
That's true. That's true. And we didn't really have a blizzard on the way back. It was safe travels. It was easy going.
Yeah.
We were back home by like 2 a.m. Or I was back home by 2. I think we hit your place around 1, didn't we, Steve?
1:30, something like that.
1:30, yeah.
1:30-ish.
So it wasn't too bad at all?
Yeah, considering the hour and a half Chipotle meal, Chili's meal.
That was a little
longer.
A little longer than planned. And the chill place is very clever because it was like a fridge in there.
Yeah, it was.
But it was a fun trip. Great road trip. Tournament went better than we expected.
Yeah, you can see the result on Longshank if you want to spoil things.
Yeah, yeah. We'll go through it round by round. Yeah. And then we'll do the big reveal at the end.
Sounds good.
Quote unquote. Big reveal. Yeah. The four people listening to this cast might care how we did. Right, so our first round, and again, this is remind everyone it was a WTC style event. Actually, I don't know why I'm reminding them. They just finished listening to the first half of the show, which was like,
and we explained
5 minutes
ago.
Yeah.
And we explained the pairing and everything.
Yeah. So our first round was against a team from Rhode Island called Quahog Nation, or Quahog Nation. I don't know how it's pronounced. Isn't that from like Family Guy or something?
Yeah. Weird, awkward neighbor or something like that. The perv guy.
No, that's Quagmire, isn't it?
Oh, right. Then I don't know what Quagog is then.
I guess it doesn't matter. Anyway, so we played them. So it's a team of Christopher Ames, Joshua Hatch, and Joe Harrington. It was...
For pairing, we decided to sacrifice Paul.
As always, threw me upon the altar. Which basically means I was thrown down first, and then they get to pick their best matchup into me.
Yeah, because the theory and reasoning into that, because I wanted to have Antoine match against Alchemist because he was the best one with the options to clear condition and everything with Peck and also with Millstone, so he could kind of mitigate the condition game. So that's why I wanted to hold this card to play it afterward to see if they played the Alchemist. And if they do play the Alchemist, there's no chance it's going to be against the Union of Paul because the first card are placed opposite table. And they did place Alchemist. So
we were kind of lucky on this one.
Yeah. And then
I don't know if we really had a bad matchup into Alchemist, to be honest. Because since I pile up in the scrum against Alchemist, and I have Hemlock, it doesn't really matter usually. I can clear conditions. Usually I have so much momentum, it doesn't impact me that much in my experience. And Hunters, I mean,
Hunters versus Alchemists, I don't know if that's really trouble for you, Steve.
Well, I didn't play against Season 4 Alchemists, so I didn't want to really test my luck. And also, I don't have as much condition clearing as you guys. So
that's true.
Like, I would have just burned my momentum trying to remove those poison and burning.
Yeah. So I ended up matched up against Joshua Hatch and his Butchers.
And I had Christopher was against Antoine, and I had the pleasure of doing the mirror matchup against Joe.
Ugh, just grind fest.
Yeah, when we started the game, we kind of both apologized to each other because we knew it would be a boring game.
Yeah,
beforehand. So,
well, we'll start with me because I'm the sacrificial lamb, and I feel I should be allowed to go first.
Yes, you are.
So, this is a brutal matchup for me. I have never successfully in Season 4 played against Butchers. Though I was fairly familiar with the models he was taking in the lineup, because it's very similar to what Antoine plays. Now you have to forgive me, because I don't remember what any character is called. He was playing Ox, and of course he had Princess. And he was playing Vet Gutter, and Shank, and Boiler, I believe?
Yeah, the kid.
And Brisket.
And Princess as mascot, probably.
Yeah, I said Princess already.
Okay.
Thanks for listening, Steve.
Sorry.
We're 5 seconds in, you're already ignoring me. Yeah.
That's a good start, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
I went with...
The only model that Antoine doesn't play in that lineup is Vet Gutter. He has her, but she's not painted, so he doesn't play with her yet.
Yeah, so... And she doesn't have a lot of surprises compared to regular Gutter, so it wasn't that big a deal. Since I know regular Gutter. I was playing Blackheart, Rage, Harry, Mist, Coin, and someone else who escapes me at this point. Blackheart, Rage, Coin, Mist, Harry. I can't think who my last player was.
Benny?
No, it wasn't Benediction. Yeah, it wasn't Fangtooth. It wasn't my 10. Or my 12, I should say. Wow, this is great radio, where I try to remember what I played. Probably should have planned this better. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Whoever they were, they didn't do a whole heck of a lot, because I died. Actually, this game went better than I thought it did. I spent a lot of time playing the ball and trying to just make sure, like, not give him too many openings for charges and mangling. And I seemed to do okay at it. I did, however, have a couple long activations, and that burned my clock pretty badly. So in the end, I did manage to clock myself. I did, however, lose 2 points, so it wasn't activations that killed me, at least.
Okay.
I managed to get 8 points, so I lost 12-8. I scored 2 goals. It wasn't bad. My big
probably
problem
2 missed goal. 2 goals with missed.
I think it was 2 Blackheart goals, actually.
Oh. Okay.
And I also had Gutter. That was my other player. I had Gutter as well. And I remember Gus Gutter was out in a forest trying to... Yeah. Anyway. It went okay. I made a couple mistakes, and I lined up a couple goals that just didn't quite work. Like, I was just out of range. And I'm so used to how Antoine plays the Butchers that I was super cautious. And I think that hurt me as well. I think if I was more aggressive, I probably could have beaten the tar out of Ox at one point and kind of messed up his whole game plan. But I'm so used to getting creamed by Antoine, Big Antoine, as we call him, that I was just content to stay back and try to play the scoring game, you know, like I was a fisherman, except I'm not fish. So, yeah. Good game, though. Super patient opponent. As at one point... I occasionally suffer from bad hand tremors, and at one point I was trying to use steppers to do something, and I think I hit every single model that I was trying not to disturb, and then to finish it all off, I knocked over my model that was moving. Like, it was just, you know, thank God I had steppers to move precisely. Yeah. What surprised me most about Joshua, is that he mentioned that he listened to the show, which... I think that was like kind of psychological warfare, because no one's ever supposed to listen to our show. It threw me off my game.
So you let him beat you so it would make better radio?
No, I think I was, I spent so much like processing power trying to figure out why anyone would listen to us. Though he did make a comment about how he'd listened to the show to try to gain some insight, and how that had failed.
Of our superior strategies.
Well, yeah, I don't know if it was just to try to get some insight into what we were going to play, or insight into like game strategy, in which case you know, our show fails at both, so we didn't talk about what we were going to play. And game strategy, we are not strictly the worst, so... Heck, we're not even the pitch. That's how bad it is. Lance has more sound tactical tips than we do. But yeah, so... Great game, though. Had a lot of fun. My favorite loss of the day? Actually, that's not even necessarily true. I had good losses. Anyway, it was fun. So why don't we do... you're a captain, Steve, so we'll do you last. So let's jump to Antoine.
Okay. So me, I was matched up against Christopher Haynes, Alchemist, which is pretty good against me. Yeah, well, I was pretty good against them. So I was playing Smoke, Najah. So he explained to me why you play Najah. Basically, because Flask was useless against me, because I can just remove condition and everything. So I preferred to just take somebody with a 2-inch melee against farmers, because anyway, you need 2-inch melee against farmers. They have so many 2-inch melees. So yeah, Smoke, Najah, Compound, some Catalyst, Vitriol, and I'm not sure for the last player, but I think it was Crucible. I'm not 100% sure on this one. Yeah, so that was his team, and against this, I played, of course, Grange, because I don't like pressure, usually. So went with my favorite pick, Grange. Peck, because you always need Peck against Alchemist in any kind of conditions. Because you can just pay one and remove all the setup, all the conditions. And then after that, I think it was Jackstraw, Millstone, because again, once again, like condition removal and everything, really good. Windle, and Tater as the last one. And the game went pretty well. I was kind of scared at the beginning because he did score easily a goal at the beginning. The usual stuff like with Vitriol and then Smoke also. So he did score, I think, 2 goals. Yeah. But I was just beating him up. So yeah, he scored a goal, I killed somebody, I killed a lot of people. And I did win at the end with... Kind of a the end where it was really, really, really strange in that Tincture was completely in the middle of their team. Well, their team was dead, so he was pretty much alone with Compound, just in front of the goal, with the ball, ready to score. So already a goal from Tincture, it's kind of strange. But instead of scoring, I was lucky because he put back with Icy Sponge, it was Smoke and Vitriol, I guess. And they were just in range of Tater's charge. So I just charged them and goodbye. Because that's what Tater does. He kills people with Icy Sponge. With one charge. So that went pretty well and that allowed me to win my game. So yeah. A good matchup for me and that's what I needed to win my first game. And then I think we can see what Steve played against his mirror matchup of
L
and Bondo.
Yeah, we played the same captain, so we both went with Tyrann, had the same mascot, and then we both chose Vetminx, and then I think after that it changed because I had Ygritte, Zerola, and Chaska. And he had Chaska, Minerva, and the bear. And Vetminx as well. So, yeah. Was not that of a mirror match, but since I knew the hunters had problem with condition, so I tried to out-condition him. and worked pretty well because with Ygritte, he was clumped out and I was able to do chip damage with poison and flurry. And in that game, I managed to miss two goals. And so it didn't help me at all. And the weirdest part was the game lasted 7 turns. We played kind of fast. And the boombox, we did boombox every single turn and we only had, one each or two each that worked during the entire game. So the shotguns were not really well balanced for that game. And I ended up winning 12-8 with a goal at the end, which I was able to take the ball back from a missed goal and then able to score again. It was a pretty long game. We both were about to clock, or he started to clock, and yeah, he started to clock, and I was at 10-8 and then finished 12 with the goal. It was a fun game, even though it was not the best matchup. He was a fun opponent. So this means we won our first round.
Whoa. Objective.
Yeah. Yeah, we're supposed to win one round of the day, and that's what we did. Though I think we're kind of surprised it happened. Though I felt pretty good about my loss. And then with the two wins from the other two, I thought, okay, maybe we're going to do better today than I thought. And then we played the second round against a team called Funfair and Interactive, and they were all of those things. They were also a far better put together team than ours, and better players.
They had the strategy.
They had the winning strategy. Yeah. So I don't remember for the selection process. Did I get thrown under the bus again?
No, it was me.
No. I was in the middle. Steve got thrown under the bus.
I took it this time. Because there were Mortician, Masons, and Fish.
Uh-huh.
And you don't know Masons really well. Well, actually, you never faced them.
I've never played against them. Yep.
So we tried to not pair you against them. So I was thrown under the bus because I didn't care which of the three teams I was facing.
Yeah.
Which worked.
That's true.
Because they put Mason first, and we put my card first.
Yeah, and we put Antoine against Masons because he played them a little bit.
Yeah.
I know. I found out too, the Suffer Box.
So, yeah,
the Kick-Up exactly. Box. Yeah. And I ended up playing against Mortician, and you, Paul, were facing Fish.
Yeah, I ended up taking a nearly 2-hour long break. It was great.
Well, because you know Fish, you've played them, so you knew what you were up against, right?
Yeah. So
you had great experience, right?
Well, I played, actually, I had a great experience. I played Scott Benzig, fantastic guy. He played a lineup very similar to what I used to play, so I knew what was coming. he played Shark, Tentacles, Grayscales, Sakana, Siren, and Hag. He kicked. The ball landed someplace. We actually had a big rough ground in the middle of the field, I should mention. And it landed kind of on my side of that. So I managed to send, I sent Gutter up to get it, and she passed it to Blackheart. And I looked at the board and I went, well, I kind of want Blackheart to score because I have to get some goals in. Otherwise, Fish, like, if they get the momentum, like, they get rolling, it's going to be tough to do anything, so I need to score. So I took a chance and I dodged up, and I'm like, as soon as I put down that model, I'm like, I'm probably going to regret that. And then, sure enough, he activated Shark, got into Blackheart, dodged all around him. I couldn't really do anything. And then he popped his legendary while in the range of most of the team.
That sounds familiar.
And then he kicked the goal and then dodged out into cover. And of course, because my team were all super slow at this point because of the Shark legendary, I basically couldn't do anything. Yeah, he staggered Blackheart, that's right. He staggered Blackheart and then farmed him for momentum something fierce.
So Blackheart was at 0-0 movement, even if he wanted to sprint?
That's right. It was horrible. And then I kicked the ball back in and I put it on the opposite side of the field from Shark. Because I'm like, well, not going to let that happen again. And then it scattered 6 inches to the six, which put it in range of Siren, who got the ball and then passed it back to Grayscales, who dodged forward 4 inches. And then I moved someone like an inch, because that was all I could do. It doesn't matter who, because then Grayscales, where did they go? Sprinted, fast ground, whatever, all kinds of stuff. And shot and scored. Yeah. I think he may have attacked Gutter on the way to get an extra dodge in there, and then scored.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, well, this is horrible. So I kicked the ball back in, and I got possession of the ball. I don't remember who had it. It may have been Blackheart ended up with it in the end. And then I looked at the board, and I was like, at this point, the turn switched over turn two. My guys could actually move. It was glorious. And I'm like, okay, well, oh, and my lineup, that's right. So I had this brilliant strategy of I'm going to take a lineup with all 2-inch melee.
Against their 2-inch melee?
Yeah. And I don't really know what I was thinking, because I had no one that could... Well, some of the lists has made no sense. Like, I had Blackheart, Coin, Gutter, Benediction, Harry, and Mist. But Benediction has no use in that lineup. I just took him because he had 2-inch melee, thinking I was super clever. I'm not sure what I was thinking. Anyway. So I had the choice, like, I could kick the ball in, score, and then he's going to kick it back out and score right away with it, and that'll be the end of the game. Or I could, try to hide the ball somewhere and kill him, but he was still kind of way far back, except for Shark, and I didn't have enough near Shark to really take him out. And I looked at the board, and at this point, I spent so much time thinking of where the heck I could put the ball and be safe and whatever. I looked at the clock, realized I was down by 10 minutes on clock compared to him.
Wow.
So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to shoot. I'm just going to score and we'll see what happens. Maybe I'll get a lucky, scatter. And yeah, well, the luck wasn't my way. So I scored. So I got on the board and then he kicked the ball back in. It scattered basically to Shark, who then said, see ya, ran around my players, shot and scored. And that was the end of the game. So I lost a second activation of turn two. Was to 12-4. Okay. It was
you did points. That's a start.
Yeah. And it was a great game. Scott was super a super clean player. Really, you can tell he's a tournament player, like super organized, super clean play. Very good discussion about the game afterwards. He was kind of confused, like, why did you do that? I'm like, I kind of tilted. I had no idea what the heck I was going to do. I was losing on clock. I figured I might as well score and see what happens. And he's like, okay. I'm like, didn't say it made sense. That's what I did. Yeah. And then he's like, also, like, why the benediction? I'm like, I have no idea. He's like, I probably should have taken Decimate for some mobility and some,
second good
consistent
wind.
Damage, second wind. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Bad choices made by Paul. So Antoine, how'd your game go?
Ooh. Well, the good part was that the guy played pretty much the kickoff box, except Break and Harmony were changed for Vet Chisel and Vet Harmony. So I knew what the players were doing, so that's good news for me, because I don't know many teams. The bad news was he was receiving the ball. So pretty much turn one go from Flint. Can't do anything about that. And then I was like, okay, does Flint, the usual thing is like, okay, Flint scores, but you kill him after that. So I'll try to kill him with Tater. And turns out, 4-1, because of the charm mail against Tater, Flint is survived the whole game. I couldn't kill him with Tater, even with the single dunk, because I put a single dunk with the card. Survived. So, yeah, kind of screwed up then. Apart from that, like, since Flint was still right in front of the goal, he was able to score at the end of the game. But before that, he killed two guys. He killed Thresher, yes. I was playing Thresher, because he's pretty much the only farmer guy that can do something against armor. Against masons, always good to have. So, playing Thresher, but I sent him a little bit too much forward and got destroyed by his team, pretty much after that. And so he killed two guys, and then I had the ball with Bushel, and I was like, okay, I'm losing, I already scored one goal, killed two guys, and pretty much nobody that's ready to do anything. So I decided that at least I could score a goal and have some fun. So ran with Bushel, scored the goal, then next activation, take the ball, send it to Flint, and pretty much lose the game. But he was a fun guy to play against. If I remember correctly, it was this guy, Rob, where he played also farmers. So it was kind of helping me at the beginning of the game because I was completely not in the zone at the beginning of the game. I was really tired from the first game because we had all the other team had some kind of pause between the game. But since we pretty much all went through our clock during the first game, we played the two rounds with 5 minutes pause between them, pretty much. So, yeah. But some guy, he told me at the beginning of the game, like, hey, do you want to put your office marker maybe before you pass it? Like, oh yeah, right, office markers, they exist on one green flowers. So, no, but it's difficult to remember they exist. It's really difficult. But yeah, he kind of destroyed me. I think he knew how to play. I didn't. That makes a big difference.
Knowing how to play makes a big difference, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the moral of the day.
that should definitely be the moral of the day.
Or the title of the episode.
Actually, that could be the title of the episode. Knowing how to play makes a difference.
Just note that, and I think it should be good.
I had already seen on my left that Paul had lost this game, right? In 5 minutes, so I was like, okay, that's they know how to play this team. That's wrong. Wasn't feeling bad about it. And then,
so the pressure was on me, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And I was surprised, like, oh yeah, Steve is still in the game. And I look at the score, and I'm like, oh wow, he's not even losing. So yeah. So Steve,
I have the tiger.
Yeah. Apparently,
I was facing Mortician. He went with Obelus. Mascot was Vileswarm Vet Graves. After that, he had Casket. And he had Casket, Vet Graves, Silence. And who was it? Ghast. Yeah, Ghast. And I had Tehran, Fahad, Chaska, Vetminx, and the bear, and Zerola, I think. Yeah, probably Zerola. And I was able to put some pressure really early. He moves Silence close to try to force the activation with Tehran to make him activate early and throw some fire blast in front to slow him down. But I was able to pin or arrow to the knee him. He was snared. And after that, I was able to do a shot of boombox to soften him up. And the bear managed to kill him. And I did a early goal in the second turn. So I had pressure on him because I was up 6-0. And so he was playing really more defensively. It's basically what he was doing is trying to pull my player one by one and like get a big scrum and try to take them out one by one and then have the one casket time, which he managed to do on Chaska. But I was able to still stay in the game, and he was keeping the ball on Vet Graves because he has close control, so it was hard to get the ball from him. And he was able, he brought Silence not too far from Vet Minx, who had scored earlier. So with four influence, I was able to take out again Silence. So the turn after, he brought him back, but completely on the other side of the board. Guess he learned. And was pretty much back and forth. And the best activation I did was the bear came back to from the pitch. And he was able to go in base contact with Obelisk. Obelisk did his unpredictable movement. Then I made an attack on somebody else. And I was able to trigger the mulling and push Obelisk, who hit a trap while being pushed by the bear. And the bear pushed everybody out. And then after that, he didn't see it, but I was able to, Obelisk had activated already that turn. And I charged, free charge with Fahad, bringing Obelisk down to 1 HP, and he died to, bleed from the mauling of the bear. So it was pretty satisfying. And, and in the end, he was about to clock out. And I was able to go back. Tehran was up, is part of the field. I was able to walk to Silence and then kill him for the game. So I was able to do one goal and two goals and two takeouts. Or three takeouts and two goals. Yeah. Because of the, at the end, I did a goal to finish the game. And I missed a goal as well with that, Vet Minx, who was able to try to recover the ball. But I guess two dice to shoot a goal is not safe enough. And I was able to save the honor and we, won 12-9 that game.
Woohoo, Steve. Yeah. It's yours.
Yeah, now, Steve, it's important to mention that you were the only person that beat any of those players the whole day.
Yeah.
They only had one game lost the whole day, and that was the game against you.
I'm the dent in the... I'm the rock in their shoe.
The armor. Yeah.
Rock in their shoe.
The rock in their shoe. Nice. So at this point, that takes us to round three, where we played the chemically grown gearheads. They were out of Massachusetts. Now, their team captain, Wade, is who we'd actually met before. Yeah, we met him a few years ago at the last TempleCon.
Ever.
Yeah, last one ever, before it became CaptainCon. Or before CaptainCon took its spot. I shouldn't say it became, because CaptainCon existed at the same time. Yeah, so it was kind of funny, because he changed quite a bit physically. You know, a different look going on, so I was talking to him, like, I know you from somewhere. And then I see the team he pulls out, and he pulls out the engineers. And I look at his goal, and I'm like, you bought that goal at TempleCon. I remember you now. You were building it while playing Steve at an event. So I remembered him. And I think I got thrown down first again this event, this round, didn't I?
I think so.
Yeah. And
because they had an alchemist, and we wanted to I've checked with Antoine if he was okay, and he was okay doing the alchemist match again.
Yeah. So, and also I felt pretty good in pretty much anything on this team. I haven't had particularly good luck against farmers, but I had a strategy, and I've had some good success with the alchemists and engineers, so I didn't really care what I ended up facing. And, we put down me, and they put down, their alchemist player, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So, I ended up matched with engineers, Antoine ended up matched with alchemists, and you ended up matched against farmers, Steve.
Yes.
So, let's see here. In my match, Wade was playing Pinvice, Mother, Colossus, Locus, Velocity, I think it was Vet Velocity, actually, and Ratchet. And I went in with a Vet Rage lineup with Strongbox, Decimate, Gutter, Harry and Mist for a bit of scoring threat. And it went pretty much how I expected. I managed to get a good early goal with Mist, and I kind of got the scrum going in the middle of the table, and he kind of ran into it. I had Decimate kind of coming up the side on the wings, and I had Gutter, Harry, Strongbox, and Vet Rage in a scrum in the middle. And he moved Colossus forward, so I proceeded to basically start eating him. And Colossus is tough, but when you've got three crowdouts plus the Turtle Aura plus the Heroic on Gutter, it doesn't matter.
It adds up, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's two tough hide, but with Anatomical. And
yeah, so he becomes 2-1 tough hide, and
but you negate the tough hide with the Heroic, so
yeah.
Just that it's Rap City.
Yeah, it was certainly Rap City. Gutter was, what's she rolling? She's rolling 5, 6, 7, 10 dice, yeah.
Ouch. It was 10 dice. On a 2-1?
Yeah, it was pretty brutal. So he went down pretty quickly. Miss scored the goal, like I said. And then I think the ball came back in. I can't remember. He scored a goal. He scored a goal, and then I ate someone, as engineers do.
Didn't he miss a snapshot?
Yeah, that was a bit later. Oh, okay. I scored a goal. He piled up on Mist and killed him. So we got 2 points for that.
To no surprise.
He then tried to score a snapshot goal with velocity, and the ball scattered off the pitch because he missed. The ball scattered off the pitch, scattered into the middle, landed on Vet Rage, so Rage ended up with it. The following turn...
Rage scored. I'm kidding.
No. But the following turn, I played the card that gives Icy Sponge models plus 2 movement.
Oh, okay.
And I came in with Mist touching a fast ground. Pin Vice was kind of off on the side fighting Decimate at this point, and that was not going particularly well for Pin Vice. And like I said, Colossus was almost dead. So that turn, I activated Rage. I used his legendary. I killed Colossus. I killed Mother. And then I charged out to Pin Vice or something. Because I dumped the ball to Mist somehow. I must just kick the ball to space, and then I charged out the Pin Vice and killed Pin Vice. Like, it was brutal. That turn, I just mopped up most of his team. And then the ball ended up in front of Mist, essentially. And he had no one on that side of the field. And so I kind of just activated Mist next, ran a bazillion inches, picked up the ball in the way, and shot and scored.
Because of the plus 2 card, plus either cover.
Yeah,
or
yeah, exactly. And he was in cover. So he was in cover, so sprinting 10. Plus 2 moves, so sprinting 12, fast ground, sprinting 14, acrobatic to 16, 8-inch shot.
Wow.
Like, it was just, yeah. 24-inch goal threat is
ridiculous. Well,
there's nothing you can do, right?
Yeah.
And I had a bajillion momentum, too, because I killed all those people.
So you were able to
They were inside the Turtle Aura.
Oh, okay.
So every time I killed someone, I got 2 momentum.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Plus all the momentous damage, plus. It was ridiculous. So yeah, it's 4 dice, bonus timed goal. And I think Wade was, it was a really good game. We had a lot of fun. I think he was kind of disappointed with the way things played out. He'd just come back to the game, actually, because he hadn't really played since season 2, I guess, or end of season 1. I don't remember which. So he'd only been back in the game for a couple weeks. And I think he was unfamiliar, maybe with how the team played for me. Anyway, But on the whole, it was a fun game. Hopefully I'll get the chance to play him again at Captain Con when I go this year. Antoine, what was your game like?
It was against Jeff's Alchemist. So, again, Alchemist. I think there were only two Alchemist teams in this tournament. And I played against both. So, good matchup. It was playing Smoke, Flask, Catalyst, Mercury, Vet Calculus, and I think Crucible. Again, I'm not exactly sure from the last one. And against this, I don't remember my team. This time I was playing Grange after my defeat with Thrasher. I was like, nope, no, not again. For Grange. Peg for sure, no Stone also. I think Plowman, Windle, Tatter. I don't know how many that makes, but I think it was something like that. And Bouchel, I had Bouchel, for sure. So it started. Okay, he was receiving, so he gets the ball, I advance a little bit. And then he took his Vet Calculus, and she was really, really forwards. And he threw a Sticky Bomb on my team. And I was like, okay, so I'm a little bit slow down, I cannot reach him so much. But still, Windle could reach her, so I was like, okay, I'm gonna try killing her. So I sent Windle for one. Before that, I think I sent Peck also for one on Vet Calculus, just to get the assist to be sure to kill her. And also, I was thinking, okay, the big melee is gonna be around this point, around Windle and everything, so I want Peck to be kind of near the other people so I can remove the conditions. But what happened is that Windle failed killing her, even with an one assist. She survived with two lives. So I was like, that's bad. He activated Catalyst, charged Windle, wrapped like crazy, because that's Windle, so you wrap. And did external combustion plus a 2-inch push. So pretty much my Windle was pushed 6-inch. And then it ignited all the rest of my team, because when pushing him 6-inch, he went right through in the middle of the rest of the team. So my whole team was sticky bombed, ignited, and Peck was all alone in front. So,
not a good start.
Yeah, that's a dead chicken.
Yeah, and then it's even worse because then I'm like, okay, I can salvage this. I send Tater because even with all those maluses, I've removed some condition. And I'm like, okay, Tater is pretty fast, so I can still reach her. I send Tater to try to finish her. I charge, and that works. And then I'm like, ooh, but if I do some damage, I'm just gonna kill pretty much Peck, because I'm gonna do 3 damage to Peck, that's half his life, and I don't want to kill Peck against Alchemist, right? So I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna do a mow down to knock down Vet Calculus, also Catalyst, and Peck. I was like, okay, you're knocked down, that's okay. I'm like, okay, and then I still have one attack with Tater against knockdown Vet Calculus. I only need to have one hit, because I have a 2 damage on one. And she had 2 life. I roll and I miss everything. And I was like, oh, fuck. So yeah, the beginning of the game was pretty bad. So with that, the rest of the game went pretty bad again, because Peck was alone. Peck got destroyed. Grunge that I had advanced a little bit, but on the side was also alone, because everybody got pushed again. So he got destroyed also. And then I think he also killed that teacher after that. So I had, like, most of my team kill at this point. And since he received, he also had the ball. So he had the threat of scoring pretty much in time. And then also, I think it was second turn or third turn, I did some Kristen. The idea is that Smoke went in, did some damage, I think, on the second turn. And then on the third turn, I had Teacher still alive at this point. With, I think, 5 life or something like that. Knocked down. Jeez. And ignited. And then I'm playing Grange, and I'm like, okay. At the end of the activation, I have 2 momentum, and I'm, okay, Smoke has 6 influence. I think he's gonna activate her next. She's gonna kill Tater, and then do something else, maybe kill Bouchel also, that was next. Her and everything. So I was like, okay, so I think I'm gonna heal Tater, and then just so that he can survive until his next activation, and then I do something. So I like, okay, I 2 momentum, and I heal Tater. And then he's like, you sure you want to do that? I'm like, oh, yeah, I think. I don't want you to kill him. I'm like, okay, okay, do it. And that's the next activation I have. I realize that everybody in my team is locked down, and I have no momentum to put them up, and nobody is next to anybody, so I can't generate momentum. I was like, yeah, that's why you shouldn't have done that. I'm like, oh, yes. Oh. Painful.
Hindsight's always 20/20, right?
Yeah. And I was so sure I was going to kill Theater, but in the end, he activated someone else and didn't kill him. Because in my head, I was like, it's better to have Theater survive one more activation and have no momentum than have some momentum, but Theater is dead and I lose like the 4 influence I had on him. So I was like, yeah, I need to have him ready. But nope. So yeah, pretty much I messed up, and since like no momentum, everybody knocked down. Yeah, I messed up my the momentum in this game. I didn't use it well, and since Peck was completely at the wrong spot, I couldn't like use it to have easy removal like in the first game or something else. So I was really short on momentum. And I lost pretty much. I think he scored to win the game at the end, yeah. Yeah, he scored and it was GG. So, with half my team dead, and I go. I think it was maybe one goal. I don't remember how many goals, but yeah. I lost this game. So I was like, oh damn, it was supposed to be a good matchup and everything. So, kind of.
And you failed us.
Yeah, exactly. I let down the team.
Because you tried to do some combat. It was not a combat cock for...
No. Just for this little for assist. Peck. Yeah, the peck assist. Like, so much strategy went into it. Like, oh yeah, if I put peck there, I can have one assist on Wendell to be sure to kill her. And then she survived with 2 life. And then she survived again with 2 life the next activation. Oh, what is going on?
Yeah, sometimes it just happens, right? It doesn't matter how good your plan is, the plan just doesn't work.
Yeah, no, but that plan wasn't even good at to begin with. So, yeah. And then, what about you, Steve? How did it go?
It went weird. I went against Farmer. I had Skeda, Ulfur, Zarola, Chaska, Vetminx, and Fahad. He had Treasure, Tater, Windle. Don't remember the others. I think Millstone. It was Peck, the mascot. I think he had Arrow as well. Not sure. So he kicked and I received. I was able to do a super long gold run with Ulfur. Kind of like a Flint gold run. It took me 6 minutes to figure it out, but he was able to do it because I was trying to evade the counter charge from Tater. And so I was able to do it. And after that, he trolled back the ball in, and what happened is, he tried to take out Vetminx. She was in cover. He flubbed his attack with Windle, the first one, so he couldn't kill her because he didn't get the second berserk attack. Even though he was not damaged. So she was only 4-1, but he flubbed his dice. So and then after that, he did charge with Tater and he knocked everybody out. And on my turn, I used the momentum to stand up Skeda, and then I go to try to attack Treasure. And he told me that he had a parting blow and didn't hear him. And I started to throw the dice to kill Treasure. And then, like, I didn't really hear the parting blow, and I said... He said, I have a parting blow. I said, okay, I'll take it back and go back to where I was and everything. And he didn't want to. And he just, threw the game because he felt, he was getting mad and angry, and
he was tilting and he was frustrated.
because the Windle activation didn't go like he was supposed to kill Vetmings. He didn't. He forgot
Harvest Markers.
Arthur's marker from Plowman, and also condition knockdown. He didn't take some knockdown from Millstone as well. So he did a couple of mistakes that, and then he didn't want to have a bad experience. So instead of getting more frustrated and everything, he just stopped.
Yeah. So with that, we won the third round.
Yeah. And we finished third.
Yeah, that was the biggest shock of the day.
Yeah, exactly.
Very close behind the second place team, actually.
Yeah. One game.
One game.
My game was in it, but no.
They finish individually. The other team finish 6-3, and we finish 5-4 for the individuals. So that's why they finish higher than us. And if we would have tied, we would have be second on strength of schedule because we faced the winner of the event, which were our second round opponents, and they didn't.
Yeah,
but it's better than we expected. We thought we would get the wooden spoon. And
yeah, exactly.
And I did win a single award for best goal. The fourth time, Paul. Thanks a lot.
No problem. I had a couple of goal entries going on there.
Yeah.
Off the second place team, which is called Team 4, their fish player, Derek McConnell, was actually using my fish goal and trying to get people to vote for it. And I had my union goal as well that I 3D printed. But it was funny. Yeah, that everyone loves that hunter. I mean, that was a cool concept. Yeah. When I put it together, I thought this is going to be a really cool idea. And it turns out it is. And you did a great exactly. job painting it and basing it. So
it's pretty nice.
It's hard to go wrong. Yeah, so then...
Final thoughts on the...
Well, we should also mention that Zach...
Yeah, shout out to event. Zach.
And I can't remember his other partner in crime who helped run the event. Was also judging. And I don't know if it's mentioned anywhere. But it was great. And there was a ton of prize support. Zach had purchased some tournament trays off of me as prize support. And I donated some 3D printed terrain, and there was a bunch of models, and there was they broke up a Exile's box.
Yeah, Faithful.
No, Faithful box.
Yeah, Faithful box.
Yeah, sorry. The one with Vet Gutter and Vet Hemlock and stuff. Yeah. And they had a bunch of like steppers and proxy bases and all kinds of stuff. And pretty much everyone won something because it was all done by raffle. So
pretty much everybody got at least one thing.
Yeah. I got a bunch of proxies, and I got Vet Hemlock from my morticians, which is cool.
I got some steppers and chibi turtle pin.
Oh, yeah, chibi strong box.
Yeah.
Antoine, did you win anything?
Yes, I got the melee range.
Steppers? Oh, melee yeah. Oh, I got melee range, right? Not steppers.
Oh, you got melee gauges. Okay. Yeah.
And also... what's the name for this? Just the token for the counts. You know, the initiative counts.
Oh, yeah.
All the tokens. Yeah.
Yep.
So I'm getting ready to play tournaments now.
Look at you.
Getting swag in the tournaments.
Yeah.
Because the plot cards, your deck of plot cards, you got them at one of the events I ran in Montreal.
Yeah, also. And for the rest, there's all. Good sponsor of the team.
Yeah, 3D printing, all kinds of stuff for everyone who needs it. What was I going to say? Yeah, and it was fun to see that people were really excited about the tournament trays again.
Yeah.
Just kind of like the Nationals last year, the East Nationals, where there were some of the first things to go. Again, there were some of the first things to go this time. And then people thought they were so cool. I actually had orders after the event. So I got a couple people who've placed orders from me. So that's always neat.
You'll need to get more filament.
Well, I've got a ton of filament.
Thing I think we were I was over prepared for the team tournament because we had team T-shirt.
Yeah, and we had our dice trays had our team logo as the bottom of the dice tray.
And we had pairing cards as well.
Exactly.
And we were the only team with pairing cards.
We knew more about how the... we knew more than Zach did about how the event was supposed to run, right? Because Zach had misread the WTC rules.
Yeah. So we went funny. The way Zach did, but normally it's not. It's supposed to be the other team picks a player after the first day. But yeah. It's okay.
It's okay, yeah.
Well, I really like the team events are always fun. It reminded me of the days of playing that dead game now.
Warhammer Fantasy, yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought the event was extremely well run. It was really smooth. We started pretty much on time. A little bit late, but not much. We finished pretty much on time. Shout out to Turn 4 Hobby Town. They gave us the space at no cost, no table fees. Well, gave Zach the space. I mean, the venue was maybe not the nicest place I've been in, but it wasn't horrible. And they had a nice clean bathroom and they had food available for us to eat, at a fairly reasonable price. I don't really have any complaints. I mean, it wasn't fancy, but it worked.
Yeah.
And I guess that's it. And then, we packed up fairly quickly and made our way home. I think we got out of there.
With no snowstorm.
Yeah, with no snowstorm. Which is nice for me, because usually when I come back from anywhere in the States from a miniature event, there's a snowstorm.
Well, we had it on our way there, so.
Yeah, this is true.
One is enough.
True. So any closing thoughts, guys?
No. Let's go to WTC, I guess.
Wow. Yeah. Just because I joked about it once, Steve, doesn't mean it's a thing.
I know.
It would be cool if I got suddenly got a whole lot better at this game. It would be a cool thing. Need more practice. The problem is we need more variety in our meta too, right? So we can see more things.
Try to grow the meta.
Yeah. Hopefully season 4 will breathe some new life into it.
Yeah, hopefully. People will come back a bit.
It would be nice. All right. I guess on that note, we will sign off. I will put this all together and we will release this episode this week, hopefully. So, guys, thanks once again for the fun event. The fun carpool, and for coming on the show.
Well, thanks for having us, Paul.
Antoine, we'll see you. We'll see you next event. Because now you're officially part of Team Putzin, so there is no escaping us now.
Yeah, but as long as we continue winning, I'm in.
No pressure. Okay. All right, guys. Have a good night. Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks of the North. You can follow me, Paul, at PRFilio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at B_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by LaDrave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out United Geeks Network Family Member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find Who, What, Why, a game design podcast. A podcast that talks about the ins and outs of game design with game designers. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.